Thank you, guys. Last night we were at our middle son's home for just the joy of being with grandkids, and I listened to Paul McCartney sing The Long and Winding Road. And now I get here, and we're going to climb every mountain. I think God's got a journey for us in mind. I think we're going somewhere. I honestly prayed throughout this whole week, Lord, don't let me mess this thing up. This church is so special, and it's so incredible what God is doing right now. I just don't want to mess it up. So you keep praying, keep that going, and we'll get there together. Well, there were two beavers that were sitting on a hill watching a couple of guys cut down trees with chainsaws. One of the beavers, they watched for about an hour, and the two guys cut about eight trees during that time. One of the beaver said to the other one, he said, you know how long it would take us to cut down eight trees? The other one said, yeah, makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it? Have you ever felt inadequate? It's not hard. It's not hard to do. All you have to do is find somebody that's better at it than you are, or somebody that's getting more attention for it than you get, and inadequacy just kind of folds in over you. It's not hard. It's actually pretty easy. You just kind of look around a little bit, and you're going to find somebody better than you are. Now, when you do that, it's one of those things of you either put yourself in sort of a category of saying, okay, since they're better, I better not even try. Or you kind of say, they're better, great for them, I've got to do what I'm supposed to do. If you're going to have to interview for a job, you don't want to go in after somebody that's got better credentials. If you're going to audition for in music, you don't want to go in after somebody plays or sings better than you do. You kind of don't want to go through that experience. You would think, of all people, Elvis would never have been intimidated by anybody, never have a jealous streak, because he's the top, he's the best, he was the one everybody compared everyone else to. But you know, Elvis Presley had one artist that he was intimidated by out of all the people that were singing and doing stuff. You know who that was? Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison. Elvis said Roy Orbison's got the best voice of anybody anywhere. And in fact, Elvis even brought in a vocal trainer to help him sound more like Roy Orbison. There's a section in Elvis's life where you can actually hear him trying to be more Roy Orbison-ish than he typically was. Why? He was intimidated. He felt inadequate because here's somebody that can do what I do better than me. Now, whenever it comes to serving God, regardless of who else can do what, when we realize it's not what we bring to the table that makes us adequate, but what God provides, we discover we have enough. We are adequate for what He's asking us to do, and when that sinks in, we feel complete and empowered. Go back to the history of Israel when Moses was leading them out of Egypt. You've got quite a few people there that you're responsible for, and after a while, supplies are going to run out. How do you feed that many people? How do you take care of them in this desert? Well, God had a plan, and God created this stuff called manna. Every morning, manna would be on the ground, and the people would go out and kind of collect it, and lo and behold, it would sustain them. It, whatever it was, had everything that they needed. Here's what the Bible says about that. This is what the Lord commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. So shall he take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much, some gathered little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess. He who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. In other words, when God provides, He provides enough. He provides enough to satisfy whatever it is that the people are needing in that moment. He doesn't give them too much. He doesn't give them too little. He gives them just enough. Listen to what Paul said in that regard. Such confidence that we have in Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God who made us adequate of this new covenant. Now, you know that Paul's talking about the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There was a different perspective in how God was doing business in His people's lives. Back in the Old Covenant days, there was this issue with limited involvement. The people didn't really participate a lot. There was this network of priests that did most of the work for them. The priest would take their offering and give it to God in their behalf. The priest would say the incantations that needed to be said to take care of the things that they were facing in their life. They performed the sacrifices. They served God on behalf of the people. They made the connection between God and man. All the people did was bring their offerings. The priest did the rest of it. And then you add the prophets that came along. The prophets heard from God. God spoke to His prophets. And then the prophets spoke for God. God spoke through His prophets. The regular, everyday person never heard from God. It was not common for the regular person to hear God's voice and Him say something to him that would direct his life. It was always through a spokesman, through a mediator. God spoke, but it was never direct. It was always in general to all of the people. So when you look at that as being sort of what the people were used to, now in this new covenant, we've got different rules. We're all priests. We all have direct connection with God. We all have the privilege of hearing from Him, and we all have the privilege of knowing that He has something for us individually to do, and then He empowers us to do that. How does He do it? By making us adequate. Now, I'm going to beat that word to death most of the day, but listen to the definition of it. The word means as much or as good as is necessary for some requirement or purpose, fully sufficient, capable for whatever we're to do. In other words, the word adequate fits precisely into how God does work in our lives. He makes us able to live the life, able to be used by Him to distribute the life to others. Corrie Ten Boom, one of my favorite characters of all time, Corrie Ten Boom grew up and she always was a Christian lady. But she also was one who had a heart for Israel. So whenever the Jews were being persecuted by the Nazis, she and her family took the Jews and hid them in their house. The Hiding Place was the book she wrote and the movie that was made about her life. Well, when the roundup came, they were included in with all of the Jews because they had shown favor to the Jews. And she ended up, she and her sister, in the same concentration camps that the Jews were interred. She was caught up in the Holocaust, and she wasn't a Jew. She was a Christian who simply loved and helped the Jewish people. What God did during that time, as you know her story, He gave her this incredible message of trusting Him in difficult times. Her faith was enormous from what she had gone through. And so after she got released from the prison, she had lost her sister, she had lost the rest of her family, God started using her to take that message out to the churches in Germany and then all the way over here, all around the world at that time. One day when she was sharing that message in Germany, she noticed at the end of it, during kind of meet and greet, this man was walking up to her. She recognized him immediately, one of the guards that had given her the most trouble when she was in that prison. All of a sudden, the blood started boiling inside of her and rage was overcoming her, and she was so angry she couldn't hardly see straight, almost trembling, but he kept coming. She stood there and he came up and said, "Miss Ten Boom?" "Yes." "Do you know who I am?" "Yes." He said, I need to ask you to forgive me." She said in that instant, everything inside of her wanted to lash out with wrath and just literally kill the man standing in front of her. But she said she started listening and out of her mouth was coming words of forgiveness. And in a minute, it was beginning to wash over her and drain all of that anger and all that resentment from her. And it ended up with her embracing a man that just a few seconds before she had hated, and now he was forgiven and she was forgiving him. Why? Because in a moment, when God wanted to accomplish His purpose in a man's life, needing to be forgiven from the things that he had done, He allowed His servant to be adequate for the moment. And she's mentioned that in her life, said, I wasn't prepared to do that. I didn't go in there with the intentions of doing that. But in that moment, God so overwhelmed me that I did exactly what He wanted me to do. Adequate. Able to do whatever God wants in the moment that God wants it done. Adequacy comes wrapped up in the other gifts that we talked about last week. Mercy, grace, faith, and a spiritual gift. Remember, mercy was God not doing for us what we expect Him to do. You know, He's not doing for us what we deserve Him to do. And then grace is God doing for us what we don't deserve Him to do. And then faith is the ability to trust Him. And then the ability to do the good works He's prepared for us, or the spiritual gifts that He gives to us. All of this becomes wrapped up in that package, and we're actually able to do exactly what God wants us to do in any given moment. Here was the scripture we looked at last week, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we, having received this gift of God, are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. God makes me adequate for this life. And then He makes me adequate for the things He wants me to do. But here's the kicker. When we connect our lives together, He makes us adequate on a whole nother level. He takes my gift and adds it to your gift, and takes your gift and adds it to yours, and yours and adds it over here. And He takes all of ours and pools them together, and all of a sudden He has this massive body of adequacy through which He can accomplish His work. He's able to take all of us together as a church and accomplish things that go far beyond what we could imagine on our own. Part of the job of a church is to assimilate folks, help them merge into the life of the church and find out where they fit in. Here's the definition I found of assimilation. Assimilation is moving an uninvolved person to the place where he or she is an indispensable part of the church family as it joins Jesus to accomplish His purposes through us. Did you catch the word indispensable? Which is interesting, because we don't know who is as important as God says they are. We take everybody and say, God, You brought us all of these. We want to use them for Your glory. We don't know that God has placed in here, in this family, people that He strategically has to help guide us in a direction to follow His will. He collects us together, makes us adequate as a church, and then moves us in that way. An orchestra, if you ever take a look at an orchestra a little bit, you'll realize it's a collection of instruments tuned to the same frequency, playing under the leadership of one conductor. Each instrument has its own sound, its notes, and rhythms that it plays. But once you mix those together, you find out that there is a way that those notes and melodies and rhythms fit that makes beautiful music. Incredible music come out of them. Here's the verse that goes with that. Turn in your Bible here, because this is kind of where the focus of the next couple of weeks is going to be. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 4 with me. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul basically says, he breaks this into three expressions. First of all, God has given gifts to each one of us. There's the gift of life, and then there's that gift of service, that ability that God has placed within us to accomplish His purpose. And it's all unique and all different in each one of us. God has just kind of scattered these gifts so that we all have the gifts that we need to do what He wants us to do. A Spirit-given ability. Then He shows us ministries that we can plug into to exercise those gifts. What would be a great way for me to serve in this church? Well, here's a ministry that I connect with. I I feel a connect. I feel passion about that ministry. Well, then God will use my gift in the service within that particular ministry. And it just kind of flows out in a direction like that. And then he says there are varieties of effects, which means how God wants to accomplish his purpose through us. Maybe one gift. We may have multiple gifts, but say one gift, an opportunity that I will express that gift, and then many ways that God wants to accomplish his purpose in my life. Say, for example, I have the gift of mercy. And we're having a mission trip to South America, and I go on that mission trip. And while we're there, I look over in the corner, and there's this little desolate-looking little girl who is just sitting over there all by herself. And I'm moved, so I go over and I bring her to myself, and I sit there and I hold her, and I have her attention. She's looking at me, and if these are the wrong words, those that know Spanish, don't tell me. Dios le ama. Dios le ama. Dios le ama. Does that mean anything to anybody? God loves you, I hope. So I say those words to her over and over and over. And as I do, you can begin to see this sense of desertion, this sense of isolation, this sense of hopelessness begin to just melt. And after a while, she's clinging to me like I'm clinging to her. And her little life has been changed. And then I notice, she's been reading my lips. She can't hear. And I know that we have a connection with ways to provide hearing aids. And we do that. We give this little girl a hearing aid. And for the first time in her life, she can hear clearly. A miracle has happened in her life. She's so excited. Her family then gets excited. They come in and they begin to understand God loves her and loves them. They give themselves to the Lord. And you have a family that's come to the Lord because of that. Then they go outside and in the village, they start telling everybody what God did to their little daughter. And now the village is all excited and God has demonstrated himself to a mass of people. All because one person with one gift goes out on one opportunity and God says, great, let me use that. Let me touch lives. Let me show you what I can do. He takes us one gift, gives us an opportunity, and then he multiplies the results through that all the way. Several years ago, and this was a life-changing moment in my life, I was going to the hospital when we were living near Fort Worth. Going to make the hospital runs, it was my day, and I'm driving toward Fort Worth. And usually I leave a particular hospital for the last one on my list. I just usually stop there last. But before I know it, I'm in the exit ramp. I'm going on toward that hospital, so I just, okay, we'll go there first. So I go in, and I'm looking for a family that I don't know. I just had a name. And, their mother was in the hospital. We needed to go check on them. So I'm looking for people by a name. I don't know them. And so I go to the room. Nobody's there. And I go to the nurse's station and ask and say, well, they're in the family room, which is not always, a good sign, you know, when they're expecting bad news. And so I go over there and I knock on the door. The lady opens the door and looks at me almost in disbelief. And I introduced myself. She said, I know who you are. And I said, well, I'm here. I know why you're here. And so I'm just kind of stumbling. She said, let me tell you what just happened. We've been told we have to disconnect my mom, from life support. And we didn't think we could do that. We needed someone to come in and help us. So we just finished praying in this room for God to send us somebody that can minister to us. And there you were. I said, well, I'm glad I could be here. She said, no, you don't understand. I had just said amen, and you knocked on the door. God was immediate with our answer. Now, here I am, my gift, mercy, going to see people that needed a moment of ministry. And God gives a family strong faith that not only carries them through having to take their mom off life support, but all the things that happened after that, their testimony was of a God that was so immediate and so strong, you call out to him and he answers. Their lives were changed because of one little moment of timing that God did. See, God takes us with whatever we offer to serve, and He uses that to accomplish His purposes in other people's lives, things that could not happen otherwise. You know what the number one danger of gifts are, the things that God's trying to accomplish through us, is downplaying their significance, saying they're not as important as they ought to be. You know what the second most dangerous thing is thinking that the gifts are about us instead of about Him. You see, He didn't give us something that we carried around and said, look, I got this gift, watch me. He gave us a gift so that He could do something through our lives, so when it was all over, people would say, wow, what a great God. I just saw God through that person's life. When Paul was given a special vision, 2 Corinthians 12, he was carried up to the third heavens, he says, and he said, I saw things that you just shouldn't see. It's just things that are beyond description. So when I kind of came back to and kind of brought back into my realm, because of the tendency toward pride and being able to go out and tell people, hey, I had this experience, I'm better than you. He said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to remind me that what happened had more to do with Him than me. In other words, that thorn was, God was giving him a context to wrap that story in. Here's the context. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Not only in this moment, but in all of your life. You keep that in mind whenever you want to share this story and you find yourself trying to kind of bubble it up to be a little bit more about you than about me. You remember the context. My grace is sufficient. Well, God has given us a context in the use of these gifts that He's given to make us adequate to do His work. The context of the gifts that God has given us is love. Look at this. Look at Romans 12:6. Can you go there for just a minute? I'm just going to hit it, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. But just look at that. Just hit on that. He said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Accordingly. Interesting way of expressing that. In other words, there are some rules that go along with having a gift. Number one, it's not yours. It's God's gift that He has given you so that you might serve Him. It's not something that you walk around and possess. It's something that God uses through your life to get His work accomplished. And then, accordingly also means there's a mindset, there's an attitude that ought to come with using that gift. This is in 1 Corinthians 13, and you probably know what it is before I even get there. 1 Corinthians 13, look at this, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. What Paul is reminding these folks when it comes to gifts is, if you're not operating out of love, don't operate. Because you have disconnected yourself from God. Why? Because we are operating from a God that loves us and that we love in response and who wants to love others through us. He didn't just say, here's a gift, go do the best you can with whatever you want to do with it. He gave a gift so that we could express who He is to others along the way. And that is the expression of His love as we go along there. Well, not only do we have this context of love and how He wants us to operate with love being a motivating passion, motivating force, but there is a content to our gift, our service, and it is grace. Remember what grace means? Giving God giving us what we don't deserve. Well, somebody else had redefined this with an acrostic, took the letters and made words come out of it, and said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, when God is applying His grace to us, the The price for that grace has been paid by what Jesus did. And so he's giving us not just this gift, but this rich gift of his provisions, his blessings through what Jesus did. So that then becomes the content of what we're sharing. God has made us containers of his riches from which he wants to dispense his grace. Listen to this out of 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one serving by the strength God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's not that we ourselves become the focus of what God's accomplishing. We're just a vessel by which he's distributing out the good stuff. You remember the feast, the wedding feast in Cana? Remember that story? First miracle ever recorded in Jesus' ministry was the wedding feast of Cana. And you remember what happened? They were having the celebration and they ran out of wine. In a society where hospitality was crucial, that family faced disgrace, because they had not counted on all these people and what their needs were. Well, Jesus stepped in and found some pots and told the people, fill that with water. And then he called the head waiter. He said, dip some of that out. And it was seasoned wine. And through that moment, Jesus saved the day. You ever think about the pots? You ever wonder what happened to those pots? I mean, a miracle had been performed in them. Prior to that, they were just a pot, but now they were a pot that had contained a miracle. You'd think somebody had set them aside and maybe put them in a room and charge entrance and let people come in and say, here are the pots in which water was turned into wine. They'd have been famous. They were just pots. That's all they were. They had nothing to do with the miracle except be a container out of which it was dispensed. That's all they were. Listen to this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. See, the work of God is never about the individual. It's always about the God accomplishing his purpose through that person. Whenever that person thinks they are the show, that they are making it happen, they have missed the whole intent of what God's trying to do in their life. It is always about him working through us and accomplishing that. Let me tell you what your gift is. Everybody in this room, I can tell you in one statement, it is the ability to do whatever God wants you to do the way he wants it done. That's your gift. Now, specifically, there are gifts that are being distributed, and we're going to go over those starting next week and start breaking that down and seeing where they fit and where we fit into that picture. But the bottom line is, it is a means by which you can serve God and accomplish his purpose. You can do that individually as you leave this place and go into some other venue and you sit there and help someone, you talk with someone, you relate to someone. You can take God out there with you. Or as we collect together and do the ministries of this church, we do it in power from what God has called all of us to do. And here's the reason. Because there's great joy and fulfillment of being where God wants you to be, when God wants you there, doing what God wants you to do the way he wants it done. So that pleases him. It delights God when we operate out of the things that he does to make us adequate. Now, let me warn you this. Adequacy takes away some things from your life. It takes away, I can't. It takes away, I don't know how. It takes away, I might mess up. It takes away, there is somebody better at this than I am. You see, when God makes you adequate, he's basically saying you are perfect for what I want to accomplish in this job. you're the best thing I could bring in and use for this. You're perfect. And then when he looks at a church, he said, you know, that church is perfect for what I want to do through a church. They are adequate, and I've made them that way. That's how God works in our lives. He looks at us, gives us what we need, expects us to respond, and we serve him. He accomplishes his purpose. Now, next week, when we get into this, we're going to start breaking down the gifts and get very specific in them and help you be able to discover, how has God made me to fit into this place? It's going to be a great time. Don't miss the next 2 weeks. You're going to need to be a part of this, all right? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for bringing us to a point where we understand we cannot use the word inferior or inadequate again. Lord, it's so easy for us to try to judge ourselves by what we see in other people, but Lord, you don't base what you do in our lives by what other people are able to do and not able to do. Father, you accomplish your purpose in our life because you know what you can accomplish, not what we can. Father, thank you for giving us everything that we need to be able to live the life that brings honor to you. Lord, I thank you again for this church. I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives together. And Father, I thank you that this gift study is going to be important to how that begins. And I thank you for bringing it into our family right now. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.